The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, there is a siege against science, particularly in the United States, and it is led by the five P's. These are the driving forces: the plutocrats, the petrostates, the paid promoters, the propagandists, and the last P is parts of the media. I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. These are powerful forces.
They absolutely are, and these are the forces elucidated by Michael Mann and Peter Hotez. In a new book they just have out, and they had a piece in The Guardian where they laid out this thesis. Now, to give some background on them, Michael Mann is a very famous climate scientist. He discovered the famous J-shaped curve, which is a curve of heating over time, and he's been the recipient of an awful lot of abuse across his career. Peter Hotez is a vaccine scientist, and during COVID was particularly strongly targeted. And I've had the pleasure of speaking to both of these men over the years. But the argument they're laying out is that science is under siege, and America in particular has never had, in its 250 years or so, has never had a more anti-science government. And they are talking about, for example, the influence of plutocrats. They talk about in petrostates. So you have an awful lot of propaganda about climate change being pumped out by countries and companies
that can benefit from it, precisely. The burning of fossil fuels. So these people, they're pointing out the dangers, and some countries have proven to be more resilient than others. Australia versus the United States.
Absolutely. So that's one of the examples. They had this in The Guardian, Australia, and they made this point that there is, in Australia, there's a very strong anti-science lobby, as there is across the world, but Australian voters didn't go for it in the way that American voters, say, embraced the MAHA movement and all the anti-science stuff
from
the Trump administration.
We'll
talk
about
them as well, of course. So what they're arguing is we need to first identify the problem. When they say parts of the media, okay, that one is a bit of a strained acronym. But it is true that we have not just what we consider our mainstream or traditional media, like what we're doing right now, which has some kind of journalistic standard. We also have to think they're talking about new media. This is what's happening on social media, where people can build huge platforms with virtually no fact-checking, and it's a really good way of getting propaganda out there. So they also talk about propagandists, which is people that suddenly realize that they can go under the banner of pretending to inform people while actually disinforming them. And that's a huge problem across all
spheres. And it's not just the so-called legacy media, because Fox News, although relatively new in the United States, a couple of decades, is still kind of legacy media, and they are propagandists against science because they just don't report the facts.
Absolutely. And the thing about Fox News is a very insidious model, the 24-hour cable news model. And the reason it's so insidious is that most of the shows on Fox News are actually chat shows, which is our opinion shows. They're not actually reported. They're not doing reportage. They're not doing proper journalism. But because it's under the banner of Fox News, and everyone wants to see talking heads all the time, and indeed other models of media in the US in particular have copied that, we have a lot of speculation and not a lot of information.
Now, let's go back to the Make America Healthy Again movement and how, this is Robert Kennedy's initiative where he wants to get additives out of foods and outlawing this and outlawing that and so on and so forth. Is there any good in what he's doing at all?
The short answer is no, but the longer answer is definitely no. And we'll unpack that a little bit. So there's a fantastic piece in the New York Times last week with Derek Barrs of the podcast Conspirituality talking about how people get sucked into the Make America Healthy Again movement. If you go online looking for things about your health, you come across these influencers, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being one of them. He's now in a senior position, but before then, he was essentially in that influencer space where people would start looking for healthy fixes for their diet. And as they become increasingly scared and increasingly reliant on these health influencers, they get sold increasingly outlandish ideas. So one of the big things about healthcare that people don't seem to realize is that we all think, oh, well, I'll do something to optimize or improve my health. Over 70% of health outcomes are determined by systemic factors. That is things like poverty, access to healthcare, education, the environment in which you're born. So if you really want to improve healthcare, those are things you improve. At maximum, about 30% of our outcomes are personal.
You get wealthy people who have access to healthcare, who are educated. They still can scoff their processed breakfast cereals and their burgers and be fine because
they've
all the benefits.
We're living longer lives than we ever have before. So the central thesis of Make America Healthy Again is a bit defeated. But what they love to do, and this is something that was really interesting in the piece and came out, particularly people who'd fallen victim to it, is that all of these influencers, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is one of them, will pick out a single cause for the multifactorial reasons that people's health might suffer. And they'll make something a villain. And it's usually a toxin. Now, what is a toxin? Well, they never really define it, but they change it all the time. It might be Wi-Fi one week. It could be fluoride the next week. It could be seed oils the week after. All that happens is they're collapsing a very complicated system and making a scapegoat. And as they increase that fear, they actually increase their audience. People become, and they had really good testimony in the New York Times piece on this, people saying, look, I started following these videos and I got more and more scared and more reliant on these people. Now, what is absolutely mind-boggling, I've been covering these people for maybe almost 20 years, I say, in my old age, but what is insane is how mainstream they have become. In fact, many of these MAHA influencers, Make America Healthy Again people, are now advising US government and science and health policy, which is something, if you said to me 10 years ago, I would have said, no, that'll never happen. But here we are now.
That business of toxins, I mean, how many times over the last couple of decades have you heard the term, I'm going to detox?
It's become so mainstream. If you go into Boots after New Year or after New Year's, you'll find people selling detox kits. They don't work, by the way. You have a liver and kidneys and skin, does all the detoxing for you. But the idea that there's some alien entity that we have to avoid or it's going to make us really sick is a really dangerous road to start going down, because it firstly stupidly oversimplifies human health and the complexity of it. And secondly, it allows these absolute charlatans to sell you things you don't need and to take advantage of your attention.
Now, let's talk about Charlie Kirk. Tragically, he was shot when he was talking about gun control and the amount of mass shootings there are in the United States on foot of a question he was asked from his audience at Utah Valley University. And then he was shot in the neck and died within, I think, minutes of that shot. He's almost being deified by Trump at the moment. But, I mean, he's a very mixed legacy.
I wouldn't even say mixed. I would say overly negative. So to put Charlie Kirk into context for people who aren't overly familiar with his work, he was, he's described in media at the moment as a conservative politician. He was very hard right. And he spent most of his career sowing division and disinformation. He has several high-profile examples of this. During the COVID pandemic, he spread an awful lot of disinformation about vaccines. He would come with a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment. In fact, just last week, he was very pro-gun, which takes a dark irony at the moment. He said in 2023 that the price of having a Second Amendment and the freedom that brings is the occasional death, and he would accept that. He said that right after a school shooting, I should point out, where he was saying he didn't feel any empathy for the victims. So people can read into that the irony of what happened from there.
It's interesting that the hullabaloo in the United States over the shooting of Charlie Kirk, and you can contrast that to the shooting of Children at Prayer just a week or so ago.
And the Democratic senator just a few weeks ago who was shot, and David Rose, the young man at the CDC, the new policeman, there was no flags at half-mast for them. But this is very, I mean, the cynical take I've seen today is this is very horsed vessel, the way this is being treated, that Charlie Kirk is being presented as a martyr. He was a provocateur. He went online, he provoked people. He would go and have these debates, which weren't really debates. They were staged bits of theatre to get people riled up and then to make clips for social media. His contribution to intellectual debate, minuscule. Now, he was a young man. He was 31, but he'd been in this sphere since he was 17. Yeah. And he'd been feted in this sphere since then.
He was
then.
Quite polished, it has to be said.
Very slick, and he knew exactly what he would get. He was very good at the social media age as getting something that would provoke people, make them angry, and turning it into a TikTok clip. And that was something that got huge attention to him. But before the January 6th insurrection, he paid for a number of buses to send people up there. He didn't go himself, but he claimed it was America's new civil war. He was very much in the disinformation about the election being stolen from Trump. And even though he wasn't in the cabinet, he was asked by Trump to vet people for loyalty. So he had a political influence. Mm. So describing as political probably makes sense in this context.
The fundamental question which everyone will probably be asking in the coming days is, you know, how much of this was opportunism? How much did he actually believe? I mean, did he believe in the China virus? Did he believe in vaccines being dodgy? Does he believe that Muslims are fundamentally bad people and that Israel is always right? These are the views he has.
And was very aggressive in expounding. I mean, he's being shown more empathy than death, and he showed a lot of people in life. And again, no one should die from gun violence. No, it is a tragedy. No one should die for their political beliefs. But it is an interesting contrast to see what he has said and what's being said about him.
We played a clip of the governor of Utah who struck exactly the right note, asking people of any political hue to look at themselves in the mirror, and if they see any pleasure being taken out of the death of Charlie Kirk, have another look at themselves. Because
Absolutely.
That is inappropriate. All right, Ed, thank you very much. David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. Ed, thank you very much. Well, now we're staying in Americana, I suppose.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.